today on Family Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. Today we have part two of a conversation with Keith and Lisa Granger. The Grangers have a thriving business and a strong family, both built solidly on Christian principles, values, and beliefs. Keith Granger is president and CEO of Granger 3 & Associates, a third-generation waste management and renewable energy business. He and Lisa have been married for 27 years this August, and they have three children. Now, yesterday, they joined Dr. Dobson in the studio to talk about creating a Christian legacy at home and in the office. Now, let's hear part two of their conversation.
Well, Keith and Lisa, we were talking yesterday about your family and the things that you've experienced and what made it strong. You've already said that the commitment to Jesus Christ was the foundation not only for your immediate family, but Keith, to your parents and grandparents, they all were committed to Christ.
Yes.
You lay that foundation, and then everything else takes its place beyond. It doesn't mean you aren't going to have problems. It doesn't mean you won't have physical difficulties or your children run into hard times. But it's different when you have Christ to hold on to. So we were talking about that last time, and we came along the subject of sleepovers. Now, I have now written about that in my book, Bringing Up Girls and Bringing Up Boys. And I have recommended to parents that they not allow their children to sleep over, especially when they're young. And I know a lot of parents say, wait a minute, that's one of the most pleasurable things my children have done, to go over to the house and, you know, with a friend and enjoy a night there, roast marshmallows and do all the things you do on a sleepover.
Right.
But I think it is dangerous in today's world, primarily because of the spread of pornography. It is everywhere. I'm telling you, it is everywhere. And when one member of the family is into pornography and has an addiction to it, there is a temptation there that wouldn't have been there 50 years ago in the same way. And Keith, you apparently drew the same conclusion a long time before I did.
Well, and it wasn't, the basis wasn't pornography, really.
Yeah, because it wasn't that big a problem back then.
No, the basis really was, is we're kind of looking down the road. Did we really want to see our three kids be at different homes? It was more out of a decision of, you know what, we want to try and keep our family close and build relationships between our three kids. And there was some concern about, we don't know all these families that these kids are being invited over to, for a sleepover. The one rule, the one exception we made was that we said you could sleep over at cousin's house. So, you know, we obviously have a pretty good understanding of those homes, my siblings and Lisa's siblings. And so we're very comfortable with that. But outside of the cousin sleepover, we stood firm on that. And it was not popular in our home.
There were a lot of tears.
There were a lot of tears. And it'll be interesting to see when our kids have their children, what they'll do. You know, in the midst of it, they said, we'll never do this with our kids, but we'll see.
Okay, let's role play.
Okay.
Lisa, I'm going to start with you. For the two older children, you've got three, and the two older ones are girls. And they're saying, Mom, I've been invited over to Janie's house. You're not going to let me go. You're mean. Why are you doing this? What do you say?
Well, I remind them.
Talk to your father.
We can always lean on Keith. But, even though I was less firm about it in the beginning, I did kind of lean on Keith's wisdom to that. And I just said, you know, girls, we have a big day on Saturday, so we don't want to all be exhausted for that. Your brother's home tonight. We want to be sure we connect with him. We also wanted them to have fun. We'd say, you can stay out
late.
So
you really copped out on it. You didn't say, I have concerns about this.
No, I think especially at that young age, that'd probably be the harder message at the young age. We'd be fun. We'd still say, you can stay late. We'll pick you up at midnight. But I think in the morning, you'll be the one who's happy. You'll be well rested and ready for the next day.
The tricky thing was, is you really couldn't say, well, we think Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so may not run the best household, because it's like, wait a minute,
yeah,
what do you mean?
You can't say that.
No. So we tried to stick it to the, you know, as a family, this is what we're going to do. And it never satisfied them, right? Because they're always like, well, give me a good reason why. You know, there was no reason that was good enough.
Let me explain in greater detail why I'm concerned about sleepovers, because having made a statement like that, I need to back it up. The concern is that you never know for sure what's going to happen at that home.
Mm-hmm.
There may be great parents who love the Lord and try to live according to his precepts. But what about a brother's friends? Mm-hmm. What about others who come into the house? What about neighbors who happen to be over? You never know who is going to be there and what influences there will be. The problem is you cannot afford one mistake in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't worth it to put it at risk. Do you agree with that?
I certainly agree with that. And how do you say, yes, you can spend the night at the Smith's home, and no, you can't spend the night at the Jones home?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden now you're labeling.
Discriminating.
Right.
Yeah.
You're labeling, and the kids aren't clear on, well, what's wrong with the Jones home? You know, and so we just made it carte blanche across and just said, no sleepovers.
And they howl about it.
They did, but it was a rough patch there for a while. We took our lumps, but we're on the other side of it. And going back, if we were to be parents over again through those early years, we would have the same rule. So, again, the jury's not in on our parenting. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, long term. And we see enough families out there that, as you had mentioned earlier, that you parent for life. And we get that.
Yeah. Lisa, now that you're looking at the empty nest, how do you feel about parenting? Is it going to be hard for you to let your high schooler go off to college? I assume that's where he's headed.
I'll certainly miss the day-to-day. But what I love to say is, just because they're off to college or beyond, you know, we're still part of that picture. We're still the parents. We've just seen it more and more turn into such a beautiful friendship. It's golden because we see our kids out now and they're affecting their little realm of influence. And it's exciting.
So you're not anticipating a lump in your throat when all the kids are gone?
I will. Anyone who knows me, I'm very emotional. I'll certainly have tears just because, again, I miss the day-to-day. But it is a continued journey. It's just a joy to see them step into their world.
I have to warn you, Lisa, because sometimes that takes you by surprise. Mm-hmm. And you know who usually suffers the most from the empty nest is the man. Because the mother has continued to be very close to the kids and has been much more involved. The father may have been a hard worker who didn't spend quite as much time with the children. All of a sudden, he realizes that era that he loved as a father is gone. And I was one of them.
And I'd say Keith and I, you know, there are times at this stage where we can get teary-eyed just thinking, the sweetness of, and the change, yeah. I guess, the change that we're experiencing them not being there day to day. We do love to see the encouragement of our three kids, their continued friendship, even when often it's not with us in the midst. So I hear them down the hall calling back and forth.
Yeah.
Or I see the girls going back and forth to each other's college. And I think Keith did a good job early on always articulating that some friendships may come and go in your life, but the friendships amidst these three siblings, that is a lifetime friendship.
And a lifetime friendship not only with each other, but with you.
Yeah.
They become your friends instead of you being parenting them at every stage. You are the friend of your child. That's really special, and that's what's going on in our home and our family now.
Well, we're now stepping into the phase where these young men and women are looking at interest in dating, and that kind of brings a new phase. And again, looking at some wisdom, some of your broadcasts and your books and Christian friends of ours have given a little insight to, you know, immediately wanting to get to know this young man or young woman who's interested to date our son or our daughter.
Keith, talk about how you have handled that. You and I talked about it before, and I thought it was really interesting, the approach that you took. But you do invite the boy, in the case of your daughters, into your home with your daughter present.
Yes.
To talk about the dating relationship. What were some of the things that you said to those prospective boys in her life?
Well, first of all, I'll say through high school, we really have encouraged our kids not to get into a relationship. We've tried to push that and say, you know what, high school, especially for the girls, the guys are too squirrely, and use it as an opportunity to just to get to know and be friends with a large group of kids. So now our two girls are in college, and both now have boys that have asked to date our girls. And so the most recent young man called and said he'd like to date our daughter. And I said, well, very good. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'd like to meet with you. And I'd like to have my daughter there. And so we met over breakfast. And I just wanted to lay out my expectations of how he should treat my daughter and how the two of them should interact. And in the course of that conversation, because you raised this issue of pornography, and I know how rampant it is, I talk about pornography. I talk about, I don't know what you have looked at or experienced in your past, but I would caution you, you know, greatly to really guard your eyes, what you view, what you look at, because the eyes go to the heart and affect the spirit. And certainly do not want to awaken an unhealthy appetite there.
Was he embarrassed?
Not at all. This young man actually, after I got through kind of my little lecture and expectations, he just paused and said, I would like to use the same speech with my kids.
Did he say that? That must have been gratifying to you.
Yeah, I was just checking to make sure he wasn't trying to suck up to me or something. But he was a very mature young man in the way that he took it. And I give credit to our daughters, too, because we have, through the years, used that scripture about being equally yoked. And, you know, we have been praying for them, too, in terms of seeking, if they're to get married, you know, it needs to be with a young man who comes from strong faith and a faith that he wants to grow in and apply.
You talk to them about what you call the three P's.
Oh.
Describe that. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Give
so, yeah, them. Three P's aren't mine. I stole them from a friend of mine, Mike Winter, who is part of a ministry back home. The three P's I tell my girls what you need to be looking for is the first one stands for priest, and you need to look for someone who will be the spiritual head of your family, one that you can count on, that will be there to guide, direct, and grow in his faith and carry that on through the family. The second P is provider, and provider just stands for the ability to provide for the family, provide for the needs, demonstrate a strong work ethic. It doesn't mean that the guy has to make $1 million, but it just means that he has got a good work ethic and will model that to the rest of the family. The third P is protector, not just physical protector, but emotional protector, psychological protector. This guy will stand up for his family and will have his wife's back.
Yeah. You know, those are not taught in the culture. Mm. They're not taught in church. I mean, I see these young ladies that are being taken to dinner, and the stupid guy expects her to pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I would tell her to go with him once and never again. If you know, there is a concept there that it is the man that pays that bill. Now, in today's world, women work too, and that's everybody's business. It's not mine. But it's the man's job to take care of the finances and to not let them get into trouble. Mm-hmm. And that may mean that he is paying the bills.
Right.
I was always able to take care of Shirley. She never had to work outside the home after children came. Have you done the same thing?
Yes, we have. And I have to say, I kind of grew into that. When we were dating, that really was one of the biggest challenges. Keith's family was very traditional. I saw all the moms at home. And so there was a little fear in me that that would just be expected. We did some give and take. My heart, once I had our daughter,
It changed, didn't it?
It did in the most marvelous way. But Keith also...
And from that point on, you were at home
full-time. Yeah, privileged to be at home.
And it is a privilege because there are an awful lot of people listening to us who can't do that. And they want to.
Yeah.
Many of them would give anything to be able to stay home with their babies, especially.
Yeah, and I just encourage any young women who are thinking of it defensively to think, oh my word, what a wonderful opportunity that is to be one of the women who can stay home and who can have, I say, the margins of time to serve. But, you know, just segueing back to this three P's, you know, while we talk about our daughters, we also think about our son because he's going to be the young man. And so we love to talk to him. Preston, you need to also have this mindset that one day you will be the provider, the priest, and the protector.
Now, I added a fourth one. You have the three. You have priest, provider, protector. But leadership is another one. It doesn't start with a P. But I think God gives the man the responsibility to lead his family, not to be dictatorial, not to push his wife around, not to be the tyrant, but to be, there is something about the masculine nature that I think is God-given, and it does lend itself to leadership. Now, that's going to make people mad. That's going to make a lot of women mad, but that's the way I read the scripture.
I would agree with that men are the leaders. If you believe the scripture and you believe that we're all held accountable for our actions, then it's quite sobering, actually, to be the one that's making the decisions or you know, you're making a call on something because at the end of the day, you're going to be held accountable for those decisions. So if you're not going about it in a way that you think is God-honoring or appropriate, if I'm abusing my position, I'm going to be held accountable for that. Obviously, Lisa provides much counsel. Many of the decisions that we make they just work because we both are in agreement to them. But at the end of the day, if there's one decision, I know that in our relationship, she will yield to me, and that places a burden.
Sure it does. And God holds you accountable.
Right. And that's the part that's scary.
You know, what we're saying is almost unheard of today. It's not taught in church, most churches. It's not understood, but it's biblical.
Right.
Keith just always encouraged me with this line, very simple, but he said, Lisa, if you weren't doing what you're doing, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing.
That's true.
And that's true. A beautiful thing.
And if he were not showing love for you, you'd probably have a harder time following his leadership. It's symbiotic, and it is a great plan. Because I think it came from the creator of families, and you obviously Agree. Okay, so the three P's and an L. Let's explore the protector side of it. When I am with Shirley, and even on the first date we had a long time ago, 55 years ago, I always walked on the outside as a symbol of the fact that I was responsible to get her home safely. And that if her life was put in danger, I would sacrifice mine if necessary to protect her and take care of her. And to her parents, I was demonstrating to them that I would get her back as best as I possibly could, without a crisis and without danger. Is that what you mean by protect?
Sure. There's certainly that physical aspect, and through that, you're demonstrating to your wife or your girlfriend that I am going to protect you. But it's also knowing if that person is going through a difficult time or someone's, you know, attacking in some other way, that my wife knows that I'll be there to support her and I will have her back in whatever the circumstance might be.
As Christ gave his life for the church, we're to give our lives for our wives. Now, that's a paraphrase. That's a Dobson version, but that's what it says. So that's the way you see it.
Yes. And again, it would come from modeling, from watching my grandfathers, how they would treat their wives, to my dad. You know, my dad was the one that shared with me early on, son, you walk on the outside of your wife to prevent any, you know, cars or a splash of water or this or that.
I'll bet you we're talking to people who never heard that before. But it used to be traditional.
Right.
That's what I was taught by my parents.
Right.
And
you're so old-fashioned.
Well, so be it.
Well, and I want these girls of today to be willing to accept that and realize that's some of the joy of being the woman. And I think there's some who are so strong or
Independent,
yeah, that they fight that. And I think, oh, don't fight it. It will be a wonderful thing, and it will make for a wonderful life.
Mm. It creates confusion for guys. They have a natural inclination to protect a woman, and yet if they try to lift a suitcase up on an airplane into the overhead compartment, they're likely to be yelled at or to be resented.
I recall a time when I was working somewhere, and I went to open the door for this lady, and she looked at me and she goes, I can open my own door, thank you.
Well, then do it, thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure having you as our guest twice to talk about your family. I know that you were a little antsy about having your family held up as an icon, because none of us is perfect, and we know that. But there are some principles that you have gotten a hold of, and it involves the commitment to Christ and to bring that into your business. And Lisa, you are a good mom. Mm-hmm. You're a great mom.
She is.
And Keith, the things you've talked about regarding your fathering with your children are straight out of the scripture. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you have brought Christian principles into your business and into your family life, I admire you, I applaud you, and I thank you for sharing those ideas with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dobson. It's been a real privilege and an honor to be here with you.
Yeah, such a great day. Thank you for who you are and all that you do.
We'll do it again.
Well, it's safe to say the Grangers are a great example, a living example, that God's way works in the boardroom, at home, in the community. As they say, they are not perfect, but they are committed to Christian principles, and that has made all the difference in their lives professionally and personally. This is Family Talk, and we hope you've been inspired by Dr. Dobson's conversation with Keith and Lisa Granger. If you'd like resources to create a similar legacy in your family, boy, we'd love to help you out. Check out the great marriage and parenting resources, many of them free, that we offer on our website at drjamesdobson.org. Or you can call us at 877-732-6825 or join our Facebook community. We would love to engage with you there. As you know, Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry, so if you're able to, we would appreciate your support and contributions. So if you can, please call us at 877-732-6825 or reach us via our website, drjamesdobson.org, to donate today. And thank you for helping us help others. I'm Roger Marsh. Thank you for spending part of your day with us today. God bless, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.